Iran's leader says that the main target of U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan was Iran, but Washington failed to achieve the objective because of the strength of the Islamic Revolution. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement and Saudi-backed forces exchange more prisoners on the last day of three-day swap of nearly 900 detainees. Rival factions in Sudan clashing for a second day. The civilian death toll from the violence reaches 56. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, says that Iran was the main target of the wars that the U.S. waged in Iraq and Afghanistan. The leader said in a meeting with senior commanders of the armed forces that Americans failed to get their final objective due to Iran's power. He said that armed forces should stop at no level of progress and they should push ahead ceaselessly, as threats never go away completely. The leader added that the readiness of the armed forces is deterrent per se, but he warned that the U.S. and its allies will continue to trigger conflicts wherever their interests are served. Ayatollah Khamenei also talked about Palestinian operations against Israel. He said that Israeli crimes are now sparking protests even in the U.S. and the U.K., which is a defeat for the regime. In Yemen, the Ansar Allah movement and forces loyal to former fugitive president Abd Rabu Mansur Hadi have freed scores of detainees, and that's part of a prisoner swap deal. Planes carrying prisoners took off at the same time from the capital Sana'a, that's controlled by Ansar Allah, and the northern city of Marib, which is under the control of Saudi-backed Hadi loyalists. Some 90 prisoners were exchanged during the flights on Sunday. Three other flights are due to complete the prisoner exchange later in the day. The swap is the last of a three-day exchange of nearly 900 detainees under a deal reached in Switzerland last month. Saudi Arabia launched an aggression against Yemen in 2015. Large numbers of people have either been killed or wounded in the war.
As the Saudi war on Yemen enters its ninth year, authorities from both sides have begun releasing hundreds of prisoners captured during the deadly conflict. The forces in Aden, who were backed by Saudi Arabia during the war, agreed to release 250 Ansar Allah fighters and send them back to Sana'a. In return, the Ansar Allah movement said it released a total of more than 180 detainees, including Saudis and Sudanese soldiers. The prisoners also include forces loyal to former Saudi-backed Yemeni President Abdurrabu Mansur Hadi and send them back to Aden. Among them were high-profile figures, including brother of former President Nasser Mansour Hadi and former Yemeni Defense Minister Mahmoud al-Sobeihi. The prisoners talked about their feelings as they were set to join their families.
It's the most beautiful day of our lives because we got out of captivity and we're now safely heading to our country and under the protection of the Red Cross.
I now feel proud and honored as I'm returning to the Yemeni land. I will kiss its soil because it's like my tender mother. Greeting to all the Yemeni people.
Those, along with other prisoners, made up of some 900 captives who are released under an agreement reached in Switzerland in March. The agreement was the largest prisoner swap since October 2020. The International Committee of the Red Cross, which managed and facilitated the prisoner swap, said with this act of goodwill, hundreds of families torn apart by conflict are being reunited. Our deep desire is that these releases provide momentum for a broader political solution. Some within the Yemeni government in Sana'a said they expected a flurry of prisoner exchanges during the coming months. They said other such agreements are likely to be struck after the holy month of Ramadan to release all prisoners that can make up around 15,000. The prisoner swap deals, including the one which took place during a three-day period as of Friday, and the possible upcoming agreements, are seen by many around the world as a confidence-building measures aimed at creating trust between the warring sides in Yemen and preparing the grounds for upcoming peace talks.
The agreement between Saudi authorities and Ansar Allah officials comes at 8 years of Saudi-imposed war in Yemen has literally brought no single achievement for Riyadh. But many around the world raise hopes that the recent prisoner swap deal would open up horizons for millions across the impoverished Yemen that a years-long devastating conflict would eventually come to an end.
The prisoner swap agreement between Riyadh and Ansarullah movement in Yemen comes as the movement's chief negotiator, Muhammad Abdel Salam, has hailed the negotiations as serious and positive. Abdel Salam says more talks have been planned to discuss outstanding issues, which include a permanent truce, full reopening of the southern ports and Sana'a airport, payment of public sector wages, and the withdrawal of foreign forces from Yemen. Sources say Saudi Arabia is planning to announce the end of the devastating war on Yemen. After all, the kingdom was leading a coalition that has been attacking the impoverished nation since March 2015. To reinstate Hadi, Riyadh launched a brutal war in collaboration with a number of its allies and with arms and logistical support from the United States and several other Western countries. The objective was to crush the Ansarullah movement, which has been ruling the country since Hadi fled to Saudi Arabia in 2015. To achieve its goals, Riyadh used the most sophisticated weapons it purchased from its Western allies against the Yemeni people. Not to mention that the Arab kingdom imposed an all-out blockade on the country to bring the impoverished nation to its knees. According to UN figures, hundreds of thousands of people have so far been killed and millions of others displaced. The war also destroyed Yemen's vital infrastructure, leaving millions of people across the country in desperate need of vital necessities. UN estimates show some 4.5 million people have been internally displaced and more than two-thirds of the population living below the poverty line. Now, with the recent prisoner swap deal, it seems that Saudi Arabia is seeking to pull out itself from a quagmire that has been very costly on all levels. The princesses in Riyadh seem to have come to the understanding that billions of Saudi petrol dollars have gone into waste and are seeking to make a U-turn in their political approach toward regional and international developments.
Now, rival factions in Sudan clashing for a second day as the death toll from the violence reaches 56. According to witnesses, heavy fighting is underway in the capital Khartoum as well as the cities of Omdurman, Port Sudan, and Bahri. The army also launched airstrikes on a base belonging to Paramilitary Rapid Support Force, or RSF, near the capital. The RSF claimed to have seized the presidential palace, army chief's residence, state television station, and airports in Khartoum. The army has rejected those assertions. The Sudanese Doctors Union also saying that at least 56 civilians and scores of military personnel have been either killed and also 600 wounded so far. The fighting follows weeks of tensions between military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and the RSF over the planned integration of the group into the regular army. Well, a short while ago, we're joined by political commentator Sami Hamdi, and I asked him about the root cause of the ongoing fighting in Sudan, and here's what he told us.
I think first and foremost, it's important to remember the context within which this is taking place, which is that you have a transition taking place in Sudan, in which the parties are trying to come to some sort of agreement regarding power sharing and also trying to pressure Burhan, the head of the military council, to hand over power to civilian parties. Burhan has dragged his heels primarily because he's aware that the handover of power is essentially to civilian parties that he believes, and the civilian parties themselves believe, would not be able to win any seats or would not be able to win a majority in any election. The civilian parties, as part of pressuring Burhan to hand over power to him, sought to rally around Hemeti, the head of the rapid support forces. They sought to rally around him and essentially try to coax him into toppling Burhan for them and then agreeing to a power sharing transition agreement in which they would able to seize 66% of the parliament and in which they were able to embark on ideological changes to the state before going to an elections at a time in which they believe they could win. Burhan knew that they were rallying around Hemeti, so Burhan arranged his own process through which he managed to get more civilian parties to join the process to dilute the power of the other civilian parties. but also imposed a condition whereby the Rapid Support Forces would have to give up much of its influence in exchange for a transition in which Burhan shares power. So Hemeti, believing that Burhan is going to take away some of his power, has decided that now is the time to act. He's moved his forces to try to topple Burhan in order essentially to oust Burhan from the game entirely and to impose himself before Burhan has a chance to rein him in and essentially clip his wings.
Now, Israel planning to implement some 10 major settlement projects in the occupied Al-Quds and the West Bank. The projects include the construction of hundreds of new settler units and the expansion of some of the already constructed ones. As part of plans, the regime also intends to build roads as well as a major tunnel under the Qalandiyah checkpoint north of Al-Quds to connect the settlements in the occupied territories. Tel Aviv gave the go-ahead for the projects in 2017. Experts regard those projects as part of the regime's land grab policy. People have rallied for the 15th consecutive week in Tel Aviv to protest Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposed judicial overhaul. The protesters held signs and chanted slogans against the far-right cabinet. They urged the Prime Minister to scrap the legislation despite his decision to delay the process. In recent weeks, protesters have clashed with regime forces across the occupied lines. The demonstrations erupted in January after the cabinet announced reforms to limit the Supreme Court's powers. Critics argue that the changes would foster corruption and bring about diplomatic isolation. A special ceremony has been held in the Russian capital, Moscow, to mark International Good's Day. The guests, including dignitaries, honored the struggle of the Palestinian people. Our Moscow correspondent has the story.
Iran hosted a ceremony to commemorate International Quds Day as part of Moscow's Ramadan Tent, an annual charitable event organized by the Russian Council of Muftis and the Iranian Embassy in Moscow. International Quds Day was originally designated by the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Imam Khomeini, as a day of solidarity with the Palestinian people. However, the event serves to strengthen cultural and political ties between nations as well.
Imam Khomeini took the initiative of mobilized all freedom-loving people who resist oppression to mark the last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day. This day is a reminder of resistance against murder, occupation, oppression and terror. And this is not only an Arab and Islamic issue, but a humanitarian one. International Quds Day calls for the condemnation of killings and aggression and fight against the violation of human rights. The people of Palestine have been suffering from this in their land for a very long time.
Participants in the event reiterated that the issue of Al-Quds is an international one, as thousands of Palestinians have been murdered and hundreds of thousands forced to flee their homes since the beginning of the formation of the Israeli regime. Israeli atrocities have caused strong condemnations worldwide.
International Quds Day is very important. We thank the Islamic Republic of Iran and their president because he continues to make everyone aware of the Palestinian problem on Al-Quds right now when the Israeli occupiers are attacking the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Unfortunately, some Arab countries have turned a blind eye to this and forgotten the Palestinian problem, which is very important for both Muslims and Christians as well as all of humanity. My children and I are glad to attend this event and do something for Al-Quds to remind the world of Palestine, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and our land.
Commemorating Al-Quds Day is even more important today as the Israeli regime has grown more violent against the people of Palestine and intensified its extremist behavior. Al-Quds Day is a reminder for all freedom seekers of the world who stand against any oppressor to establish justice. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Now to Ukraine, where the eastern city of Bakhmut remains the epicenter of the war. With Russia, Kiev saying that the bloody battles are unprecedented in recent decades. According to Ukraine, fighting is taking place in the middle of the city's urban area, but the forces are holding on. Meantime, Russia is saying that Wagner Group, that's a private military contractor, has captured two more areas on the outskirts of Bakhmut. Wagner has been leading Russia's offensive to take the city since last summer. And Sunday released more than 100 Ukrainians as part of a prisoner swap to mark Orthodox Easter. It's not clear how many Russians were sent back. Now, in France, police have been caught on camera using disproportionate force against protesters in the northwestern city of Rennes. Footage from the incident shows riot police handcuffing a man and a woman while restraining them. According to eyewitnesses, the man was wrestled to the ground after trying to help the woman who was being dragged on the ground. And that took place during a demonstration where police fired tear gas to disperse the rioters. France has seen months of violent protests over the government's controversial plan to raise the retirement age to 64. President Emmanuel Macron signed the bill into law on Saturday, and that has angered unions, which have called for the demonstrations to go on. Well, that's all for this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 16th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, from Ratan Kumar Paul from India, and Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. So, Mizanur Rahman, Rob, and Ratan, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. And you know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in reception report will be receiving electronic QSL card from us. Thank you for your support and commitment, dear listeners. And we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read your emails. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Bhathon Rudra. Hector Friahofre from Chile, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany has sent us a message. And the last but not the least is an email from India, from Mukesh Kumar. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. So let's see what Bhatan Rudra from Bangladesh says. Hi, my radio friends. How are you? I love and we love radio because it is my friend and it is the best media all over the world. And I appreciate all the efforts of radio workers and radio listeners. God bless you all. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio. Bhatan Rudra from Bangladesh, many thanks for your support and commitment and, of course, your encouraging words. We also appreciate you for your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL, our eQSL as confirmation. And one of our old and regular listeners from Chile, Hector Fria Jofre, has sent us an email. Hector says, hello, I hope that the IRIB transmissions reach all parts of the world. Also, I hope my QSL and the requested information will soon reach my hands. I believe that Iran will successfully overcome the restrictions and sanctions caused by the U.S. and you have the support of many people like me from other countries. Best regards. Salam, Hector, and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Appreciations to you for this email, Hector. We are proud that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received everywhere in the world, including in Chile. Also, many thanks for your comments about the success of Iran in overcoming the U.S. unilateral sanctions, as well as your support for an independent country like Iran. Hector Ferrejofra from Chile, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation. After a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and our Indian listener, Mukesh Kumar, has sent us a message. Mukesh says, dear sir or madam, greetings. Me and my club members are English radio enthusiasts. On the behalf of all the club members, I would like to send our love to you via this email. God bless you. Salam and greetings to you and your club members. And thank you very much for this email. Please accept our eQSL as verification. God bless you too. Mukesh Kumar from India, thank you again. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from Netherlands, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Rob Den Boer. Rob says, dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's radio, I'm glad to confirm your broadcast today at 6040 kilohertz here in the Netherlands. I heard at 1945 UTC, a female telling a historical Islamic story in English language, which I found it quite interesting. Please verify my report by your eQSL. Thank you so much. Salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Many thanks for this email and thank you very much for letting us know what you think about our broadcast. I wish you could tell us the name of the program you had. Anyway, we will confirm your report by an eQSL, Rob. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Okay, after a short break, I will be back with you. Thank you. Okay, let's see what Kurt Ettlinger from Germany says. Kurt says, dear staff at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, as a DXing fan, I found your programs very interesting and full of information. I hope I would be able to find more frequencies of your station. So I would be very grateful to you if you can send me QSL card for my reception report. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. It's an honor to have you with us as a listener, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So please refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en. That is parstoday.ir/en to find the frequency schedule as well as the archives of our programs. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, thank you very much for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Had a good time together, but we have to say goodbye. But before that, I send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Ratan Kumar Paul from India, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Robden Boer from the Netherlands, Badhon Rudra from Bangladesh, Hector Fria Hofre from Chile, Mukesh Kumar from India, and also Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. Please keep in touch with us. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
سيد عبد الله الموسوي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program for humanity. We are looking at human traits in the Quran, traits that if we apply, if we practice, should make me a better human being and should make me take care of my fellow human beings as well. One of these traits that we need to have is actually shukr, gratefulness, gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned before in episodes that passed about the concept in the Quran, how it is related to human rights. We spoke about how we can gain such a thing. Also today, I want to look at the effects of it, because the effects of it also affects human rights as well. So there are positive effects to gratefulness and gratitude to Allah, and there is a negative effect. So we spoke about the negatives in the previous episodes. Today, let's look at the positives, because the positives will also affect people around me. One of the positive effects of being grateful and having gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fact that Allah will increase your rizq. Allah will increase your sustenance. So Allah says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're thankful, I will increase it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَعَرَفَهَا بِقَلْبِهِ وَحَمَدَ اللَّهُ ظَاهِرًا بِلِسَانِهِ فَتَمَّ كَلَامَهُ حَتَّى يُمَدُّ لَهُ بِالْمَزِيدِ. He said, nor a servant of Allah whom Allah gives a blessing or a favor, once he knows it in his heart and comes on his tongue, he says, before he completes his praise to Allah and thanks to Allah, Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him more. He will give an order, give this person more. To get more from Allah is to firmly believe in what you have, that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes we are Qarunic in our ideology. And the ideology of Qarun, he says, مَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عَلْمٍ مِنْ عِنْدِي. Everything that I have is because of me. The Quran calls this a Qarunic concept. Sometimes we have this concept. We think that whatever we have is because of me. I have money, I have a house, I have a car, I have this. I done that. Where's Allah in the picture? Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. You know, at the end of the day, Allah is there. That's what we say. But we need to firmly believe it in our hearts that when we thank Allah, it comes with sincerity, with ikhlas, with genuinity. It comes with truthfulness. And if that happens, the Imam says, Allah will give you more. And if Allah gives you more, you already have good, and Allah gives you more, what happens is that you will take which you have and help other human beings with it. You'll help your parents. You'll help your siblings. You'll help your family. And it goes on and on. So you thank Allah, Allah's giving you, and you're giving to others. You thank more, Allah gives you more, and you give more to others. So you are benefiting other human beings just by you being thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to be thankful so Allah can give us, so we can give others. Sometimes we wonder, I wish I could donate to people. I wish I can help people. Of course you can. All you have to do is look at your situation and be content with it. Be grateful with it. Allah will increase. I guarantee you. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that one of the positive effects of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you more. Allah will increase more. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says, من أعطى الشكر لم يحرم الزيادة. whoever gives thanks will not be deprived the more or the increase. As long as you give thanks, Allah will give you more. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, لا ينقطع المزيد من الله حتى ينقطع الشكر على العباد. He says, Allah will not deprive, will not cut his sustenance to his people till they cut the thanks to him. So you can see that we stop, Allah stops. We keep going, Allah keeps going. And also Amir al-Mu'mineen says, لا تكن ممن يعجز عن الشكر ما أوتي ويبتغ الزيادة فيما بقي. So don't be among those who cannot be thankful of what Allah has given them and he wants the increase in what he has. It will not work. If you want more, you got to give thanks to Allah. You give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more. And by giving you more, like we said, you are going to be able to give other human beings as well. Another positive aspect of being grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Allah will take away the adab, the punishment in this world and in the hereafter. The ayah in the Quran, Allah says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What would Allah do with punishing you? Like, how is it beneficial to him? Like, what would he gain out of it? إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. When you are thankful and you are believing. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكْرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah, in return, he gives thanks to you. In life, we can face many difficulties, we can face many problems, we can face many challenges. These challenges in life can be financial challenges, it could be family issues, it could be marriage issues, it could be issues with our spouses, it could be issues with our work, it could be issues with our health, it could be issues with a number of things that can go wrong in our life. Like thousands of things can go wrong in our life, only in this world. As for the hereafter, obviously that's another topic for another day. So there are so many things that can go wrong in my life. There's so many calamities Allah can bring my way, well, obviously with my own doing. And what do I have to do to prevent them from happening? Well, Allah says, be thankful. Be grateful for what you have. The more grateful for what you have, the easier I'll make things for you, even when you think it is really hard. Because sometimes you're going through a problem and you're thinking, okay, this is the end of the world for me. But actually, what you're going through is a way to prevent something really bad from happening to you. But you never see it. Being grateful on what you have, Allah says, I have no reason to punish you. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. Like, why would he want to punish you? إِن شَكَرْتُمْ أَوْ آمَنْتُمْ. If you're thankful or believing. So be grateful. Allah says nothing's going to come your way. No harm should come your way. And when you're not harmed, and when you're healthy and fit, and you have all that you need, then you can serve those who are around you. You can be helpful to your parents, to your family, to people around you. And then you can give back to humanity instead of, you know, just being a heavy weight on humanity. So giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always praised. There's always benefit for me as a person and for others as a whole. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
In the U.S., a 21-year-old arrested in connection with a leaked documents probe has been charged with unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and willful retention of classified documents, which collectively carry a maximum of 15 years in prison. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered the story and tells us more. Jack Teixeira, the Air National Guardsman arrested on suspicion of leaking hundreds of secret defense documents, has been charged in a Boston courtroom on two counts under the Espionage Act, as Washington reeled from the fallout of the worst leaks of U.S. intelligence in at least a decade. The clean-cut 21-year-old was brought into court in a beige jumpsuit and his handcuffs were removed by a bailiff. He sat quietly, turning only once to three family members to smile weakly. During the brief hearing, the U.S. prosecutor, Nadine Pellegrini, said the government would seek 10 years on each of the charges Teixeira faces. He was not required to enter a plea, which is likely to come at his next appearance in court on Wednesday, when the presiding U.S. judge, David Hennessy, will hear arguments over his detention ahead of a trial. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, underlined the seriousness of the offences against Teixeira. There are very serious penalties associated with that. People who sign agreements to be able to receive classified documents acknowledge the importance to the national security of not disclosing those documents, and we intend to send a message of how important it is to our national security, Merrick Garland said. In an affidavit attached to the charges, an FBI special agent said Teixeira, an airman first class at the Otis Air Base in Massachusetts, had security clearance for one of the highest levels of classification, top secret sensitive compartmented information. The FBI agent, Patrick Luckenhoff, from the Counterintelligence Division of Washington Field Office, said there was probable cause to believe that Teixeira improperly and unlawfully retained and transmitted national defense information classified at the top secret sensitive compartmented information level to persons not authorized to receive such information. The laws he quoted included Title 18, Section 793, part of what is commonly known as the Espionage Act. In his affidavit, Luckenhoff gave some details of the manhunt for the leaker of a string of documents that have revealed sensitive details about U.S., Allied and Ukrainian military deployments, U.S. penetration of Russian intelligence and military networks, and U.S. intelligence eavesdropping on key allies. According to FBI agent Luckenhoff, he had been identified by a member of an internet group he led on Discord, a gaming messaging platform and a social media platform, presumably a reference to Discord, handed over Teixeira's billing address and other details to the FBI. The FBI then put his driver's license photo in a lineup of similar photos to the witness who identified him. The FBI also looked at the files Teixeira had accessed from the secure government classified intelligence system, noting that on 6th of April, after the documents he had leaked were reposted by another member of the group on another server, the Air National Guardsman started searching the system under the term leaks in an apparent effort to see if any investigation had been launched. According to the FBI witness, Teixeira initially posted extracts from secret documents as text, but became concerned that he may be discovered making the transcription of text in the workplace, so he began taking the documents to his residence and photographing them. He is alleged to have started uploading photographs in January on Server 1 an apparent reference to Thug Shaker Central, the server that Jack Teixeira is believed to have moderated. The charges only refer to one document about the status of the Russia-Ukraine war. It seems likely this is a sample document and that the prosecution will cite more of the documents in possible additional charges or in the course of a trial. As Teixeira was led out of courtroom on Friday morning, his father called out, "Love you, Jack." Teixeira responded, "Love you, Dad." President Biden issued a statement commending law enforcement for the arrest and pledging to review government security procedures. "While we're still determining the validity of those documents, I have directed our military and intelligence community to take steps to further secure and limit distribution of sensitive information, and our national security team is closely coordinating with our partners and allies," President Biden said. National broadcaster ABC News has covered this story as well and tells us more. The 21-year-old arrested in connection with the leaked documents probe has been charged with unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and willful retention of classified documents, which collectively carry a maximum of 15 years in prison. Jack Teixeira, a member of the Massachusetts Air Force National Guard, made his initial appearance before a federal magistrate in Boston on Friday morning, 14th of April. Teixeira walked into the court in a beige smock and pants with a black T-shirt underneath. He entered in handcuffs, which were removed before he sat at the defense table with his attorney. Teixeira appeared to briefly scan the crowd while in his seat. Three people sat on a bench in the front row, reserved for relatives of the defendant. As Teixeira was re-handcuffed and led from the courtroom, someone in the front row called out, "Love you, Jack." The 21-year-old responded by saying, "Love you too, Dad." Assistant U.S. Attorney Nadine Pellegrini sought pretrial detention, which was granted pending the outcome of a hearing next Wednesday. Teixeira was taken into custody in Massachusetts on Thursday in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced. Media reports have described the U.S. intelligence documents, which seem to contain top-secret information about the Ukraine war and other parts of the world, as being shared among a small group of users on Discord before getting wider notice on the Internet. The criminal complaint alleges Teixeira improperly and unlawfully retained and transmitted national defense information to people not authorized to receive it. On Monday, 10th of April, the FBI interviewed an unidentified member of the Discord chat room, where Jack Teixeira allegedly posted classified documents, according to the charging documents. That individual provided the FBI with information that the alleged leaker went by the name of Jack, appeared to live in Massachusetts, and had claimed he was a member of the Air National Guard. He also said he'd chatted with him on video and that the suspect was a white male who was clean-cut in appearance and between 20 and 30 years old, according to the charging documents. While Discord is not mentioned by name, the complaint indicates the platform helped the FBI by providing the credentials behind the account associated with a leak. According to the complaint, Teixeira accessed a government document on 23rd of February this year and posted it the following day. It's the disclosure of that document that forms the basis of the initial charges against him. President Joe Biden, in a statement on Friday, 14th of April, said he commended the rapid action taken by law enforcement to investigate and respond to the recent dissemination of classified U.S. government documents. "While we're still determining the validity of those documents, I have directed our military and intelligence community to take steps to further secure and limit distribution of sensitive information, and our national security team is closely coordinating with our partners and allies, President Biden said.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about fasting and the reward for fasting. As you know, we are in the blessed month of Ramadan. This is a very noble and very sacred month. There's a lot of virtues about this month, and this month possesses a lot of distinctive features. For example, by way of example, this is the only month that has been mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. This is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, the Quran was revealed throughout the life of the Holy Prophet. But it was revealed in different ways. For example, it was revealed in piecemeal. It was revealed as a whole sometimes to the Holy Prophet. It was sometimes one verse or one surah was revealed, then it was revealed again, right? So it was revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this blessed month, in the night of ordainment, and also, and you know, this is more pertinent and practically speaking, more directly related to us Muslims. And this is the month in which we are obliged to fast. We're obliged to keep the Sawm and the fast in this month. As you know, the fast is a very important act of worship, along with the ritual prayer, the salat, the zakat, the charity, homes, the hajj pilgrimage, and obviously the jihad or the holy war. So this is one of the principal acts within Islam, one of the defining and pertinent and important acts of worship within Islam. Regarding the fast, Imam Sadiq has been reported as having said, "Verily Allah Blessed and Most High says." Now, as you can see, this is a hadith Qudsi. As you know, hadith Qudsi are the hadiths which are actually sayings of God Himself, meaning these are the actual words of God transmitted to one of the infallibles who then transmits it to us. Like the Quran is also the word of God. However, the difference between these hadiths and the Quran is that these hadiths do not form a part of the Holy Quran. Nevertheless, they are, you know, they are the words of God. In this hadith, God says, Imam Sadiq said, that verily Allah, Blessed and Most High, says, "The fast is solely for me, and I reward for it." This is a very famous hadith, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi alayh." Ya wa ana ajzi bih. There's a lot of things that can be said about this beautiful hadith. But one of the things that has been mentioned regarding it is the fact that, in contrast to the other acts of worship in which we actively do something, the fast is something where we actually stay away from doing certain things. In other words, it's almost negative in nature, meaning other acts, for example, the salat, we stand, we pray, we prostrate, we bow, right? We recite something, right? But in contrast to that, or for example, in the Hajj pilgrimage, we circle around the Kaaba, we walk between the mountain of Safa and Marwa, and so on and so forth. But in the fast, we don't do something. So, and we stay away from eating, we stay away from drinking, we stay away from, you know, intercourse, and so on and so forth. So, in this sense, the fast is something almost secretive, and it's very close to being a very sincere act. It, you know, sincerity is manifested in it in a better way. For this reason, you know, the reward for it, you know, it's more probable for it to be performed for the sincerely for the sake of God. And that's why God says, "The fast is solely for me, and therefore I reward for it." Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the fast. Until next time, in the words of Imam Sadiq, alayhi salam, until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.